Radio MD. RadioMD.com.
Get healthy. Be healthy. Stay healthy. It's the Power of Health with Dr. Jeffrey Burke.
I want to welcome you back to the segment. I'm here with Natasha Trenev and Dr. Chris D'Adamo, and we're talking gut and digestion today, and I think it's going to be a really interesting segment. You know, today, I understand personally the desperation and the frustration of the people out there whose guts are giving them a turmoil every day. You know, we get frustrated. We try all different kinds of things. We buy into the pharmaceutical cover-ups. We read the ads. We see the commercials. And, you know, I think sometimes we gravitate toward things that were just going to give us the quickest relief for the symptoms, but rarely do they ever get to the cause or the foundation of the problem. You know, I don't think we really know what we're doing when we're covering up the problems in our gut. You know, Natasha, these cover-up, these Band-Aids today, they're very prevalent in our society because we become very symptomatic-oriented.
Yes, Jeff, and let me just give our listening audience some statistics that I think will open their eyes. And according to the National Digestive Diseases Information Clearinghouse, 60 to 70 million people are affected by digestive diseases. That's huge. And then another stat that I have, that each year Americans make about 51 million visits to physicians' offices and hospital emergency rooms for problems related to the digestive system. This has never been in our country. This is horrible. And then, you know, you have the use of, these acid-blocking drugs. Most prevalent are PPIs, and the proton pump inhibitors are among the most commonly prescribed drugs in the world. This is to stop acid production. And, you know, 15 million Americans use PPIs in prescription or over-the-counter form. And PPIs, you know, have names such as Prilosec, Prevacid, Nexium, and the PPIs work by inhibiting the production of acid in the stomach. And they have a number of side effects, which include kidney disorder, increased risk of developing kidney disease, twofold increase in cardiovascular mortality and other heart risks, increased risk of fractures of the hip, wrist, and spine, disturbing the ability to absorb certain vitamins and minerals. And stomach acid is important for your body to absorb vitamin B12. So people taking PPIs for 2 years or more had a 65% increased risk of vitamin B12 deficiency. And as you know, vitamin B12 deficiency is linked to anemia, nerve damage, and psychiatric problems, and even dementia. So, I can go on more in the next segment because I want the two of you to comment. But this is what we're doing, and then we're surprised why we have obesity, why we have mental problems, why we have cardiovascular problems. It all stems from the digestive tract. And once we learn that the most important thing for us to learn is about what happens in that digestive tract, and we cannot do things to disrupt digestion because it has a myriad of consequences that we don't want.
You know, Dr. D'Adamo, we're seeing so many gastroenterology problems today, and almost everybody I talk with has got gas or bloating or heartburn or indigestion. They've been in for colonoscopies, their stomach acid's being measured. They're using all of these different things today, and rarely do I ever hear anybody say that they're looking into digestive enzymes, looking into a sound foundation of probiotics, and they're not hearing it either from the medical side, or they're not even doing their own research. They're just so dissuaded by the frustration.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think it goes down to the reductionist approach. Let's here's your problem. Here's your symptom. Let's put a Band-Aid on that symptom. And that really, when it comes to something as complex as digestion, is not going to be a successful long-term strategy. That goes for most things in human health. Natasha gave a list of many of the problems with PPI medications, and there are many others too. I think you go in, the prevalence of these symptoms is increasing. More and more people are having IBS-related symptoms, functional GI disorders. And the easiest thing to do in a system where you've got 5 minutes in a patient encounter is to write a prescription for an acid-blocking medication, or to suggest one, get it over the counter. But this does, as Natasha mentioned, have many long-term problems. And those are just the ones that we know about right now. And I also should mention that these medications have been studied for very short periods of time, finite periods of time, and there's often no exit strategy when it's prescribed or recommended that someone's kind of on them for life. And then you have the problem of when someone does say, hey, I have heard about the increased risk of fractures or B12 deficiency and many others. So those are just the ones that we know about right now, and I want to get off. Then you've got this rebound effect where the acid problems or whatever it might be is actually worsened. So now they're in a pickle. And this is where I hope today, you know, we're going to be able to talk about what's some things that people can do. But it's a really widespread problem. We're seeing more and more patients presenting with these symptoms, not just in GI practices, but to their family medicine practitioners, internists. So this is becoming a much bigger problem and a much more prevalent problem than we've ever seen before.
Dr. D'Adamo, is GERD becoming an epidemic?
I think so. I mean, I think it's unfortunately so. And with GERD, too, you know, if this is not resolved, can lead to Barrett's esophagitis and, you know, real, you know, life-threatening issues. So I think it is, which is why we need to get to the root cause of it. And it's multifactorial. Root cause and multifactorial treatments, but yeah, again, we're seeing the prevalence of GERD. You know, the incidence is increasing, and again, there's sort of some really potentially damaging long-term consequences beyond just the unpleasantness of experiencing GERD.
You know, Natasha, when people are thinking, because they're frustrated and they're trying to find a way, an alternative, you know, I wish that we would be able to just automatically just interject the idea of getting to the source of the problem. But we have to remember that, you know, out of a sign of desperation, people will reach for whatever's close.
I think our society has been taught for a quick fix, the miracle pill. We're bombarded daily, not only from the pharma drugs, but even by our health food industry, to take a magic pill and get rid of the problem. But let me assure you that the complexity of our digestive system is much more radical than even your operating systems in your iPhone. You've got 27 feet, and that 27 feet is loaded with 100 trillion microbes. Those 100 trillion microbes control whether or not you will irritate the immune cells, which is about 70 to 80% of them found in our gut, and whether or not your immunity will function properly or not function properly. You also have 100 billion neurons on your GI tract, which will be affected by what happened with the microbiota, because if you get a population overload of the unfriendlies, as I call them, you're going to affect how your second brain functions, you're going to affect how your immune system functions, and what is absorbed across the intestinal line that affects your, you know, every organ in your body, especially your liver. We've seen the increase of fatty liver disease with people who don't drink alcohol in exponential percentages. So I think learning how our GI tract operates and that every disruption of that digestion, especially stopping the acid production in the stomach, has huge ramifications for our health, but simply by reducing the amount of proteins that get digested in our stomach and increasing the amount of bacteria that is allowed to get into our GI tract, which has been ingested with the food. And remember, I said the more organic the food, the more high the amount of bacterial contents that comes in, because by golly, our bacteria are organic and they're found in the soil and they're part of a healthy process. And so when you disrupt a stomach function that is there set up to protect us, and we don't learn how to properly wash our vegetables, how to properly supplement with the right probiotics, we're heading down a very dangerous, slippery slope that can impact our health on every level.
Dr. D'Adamo, there was a time when we actually had geriatric diseases, and then we had younger people, and we had the middle age, and then you would get to that age, and you would be a candidate for some of those older age diseases. Well, obviously, that wall came down, and many of them have trickled down to many of us at a much younger age. When did it start happening that old age bad digestion started affecting people that were in their 20s, in their 30s, and sometimes even younger?
Well, I think, I mean, you look no further than type 1 diabetes used to be called juvenile diabetes, mm-hmm. but now we see young children with type 2 diabetes, yeah. right? So you're seeing diseases that used to occur with aging happening in younger populations. And, I think there's a lot of roots for this problem. I think our food supply has worsened in many ways. I think our dietary habits have worsened in many ways. We're living stressful lives. We're in an environment where our water quality is not great. There's a lot of these different things that are contributing. I think a lot of it comes, again, down to disturbances in our gut microbiota. I mean, as Natasha mentioned there, too, about the second brain, for the listeners who aren't too familiar with that, but the enteric nervous system, there's over 100 million neurons in the gut, and most of the serotonin is actually produced in the gut. I mean, I've seen estimates of up to 90% of serotonin is produced in the gut. About half of our dopamine is produced in the gut. So these are, two of the major neurotransmitters that are involved in depression and motivation and just who we are as human beings. So I think, it's been going on for a while now, but I think as you look at this sort of toxic stew of ingredients of the way people on the large part are living today is leading to diseases occurring much earlier in life than ever did before.
Natasha, when people start thinking about the gut, and I know the education process is something that we're continually doing because we've gotten away from the foundation and the idea of how to, constructively rebuild our gut tissue. But when people are tuning in, let's say for the first time, or they're learning about, some of the proactive things that they can do, because they're seeing all these advertisements and they're seeing all these commercials, I think that the hard part for them is to say, how long is it going to take for me to see a difference? Because everybody's in a hurry to get results. They're looking for this magic wand, and these medications do give them sometimes that temporary relief at the very beginning, and then their mind wraps around it that it's fixed. So it's a conundrum.
Yeah, it is a conundrum, and I'll tell you why. Because people don't understand the complexity that we as human beings are more microbial content than mammalian cell content. So we have to start understanding the ecosystem that we need to improve if we're going to be healthy. And it's not done by a magic pill. And the tragedy is that, the research shows that more than half of the consumers of so-called probiotics are familiar with the term probiotics and prebiotics, but less than half of them can describe what the terms actually mean. So, the consumers heard these things, and so they're going to the store, buying stuff off the shelf, again, looking for that quick fix and not having enough information to make the correct decision, or not knowing exactly what diet to follow, or not knowing exactly what exercise program to start, because everybody's selling them a system, something that will take time for them to discern, and they really don't have the time, so they're looking for that magic fix. And I can just assure you that we need to learn more about what makes our digestive function and not, be popping pills to disrupt the acid if we're having indigestion. We have to learn what products we need to take on a daily basis, how we can help that digestion, and we've got to stop the abuse of antibiotics in this country, and we have to stop the consumption of simple carbohydrate foods that are highly processed, because there's now ample evidence that shows that this diet has led to the lack of diversity of the microbiota in our gut, and the problem that exists, that it's exploding, that we have sick children, we have sick adolescents, we have sick adults, and we have sick elderly people from a multitude of diseases that are directly linked to what's going on in our gut and our, inability to understand how we can fix it.
Dr. Denamo, I have a friend that just made an appointment with a gastroenterologist, and he is going in for colonoscopy and stuff. He does all the right things, enzymes, takes Natron's probiotics. He does all the good things and eats a great diet. But it was really interesting. He has a 9-month wait to get into the gastroenterologist, and the doctor said, "We are booked." That's scary.
Well, that's a problem with the healthcare system that, it's challenging. And again, to your point, we need to be advocates for our own health. I mean, I think really, in integrated medicine, which is what I do, it's not just the modalities, the nutritional supplements, herbs, acupuncture, those kinds of things, but it's really a patient-doctor partnership So I think in this day and age, I mean, think about that. A patient that's not armed with knowledge is going to wait 9 months. A lot of bad things can happen in 9 months, and that's not all that atypical, which you just described. So, I mean, this is, again, why I appreciate shows like yours where information is provided for how to people to be champions for their own health.
You know, Natasha, you talk a lot about, you know, being in charge of your health, and, you know, you call it the healthy trinity, which is, you know, diet and activity, exercise, and quality probiotics. And, you know, it's, you know, you've been talking about this for decades now, and it's even more important today than it ever was before. And I mean, I'm sorry that all of your predictions have come true, but, you know, if people were listening along the way, they would have been better prepared.
Yeah, it's surprising to me that we have 60 years of the health food concept, and we have more ill people in this country than mm-hmm. ever before. Mm-hmm. For instance, I can just give you some stats that, you know, 20 years ago, 1 in 10,000 children were diagnosed with autism. Today, it's 1 in 50. We have attention deficit in our disorders. We have young babies at 6 months having projectile vomiting and being put on some kind of an antacid medication. I mean, I could just bore you with the last 15 minutes and scare the heck out of you and tell you what we're doing that's wrong. So I do say, you know, you've got to get into a simple diet where you restrict your processed food, because a lot of it is loaded with sugar. Because when they took out the good fats with no scientific evidence that good fats were necessary in your diet and substituted it with sugars and simple carbohydrates, that's when we saw the explosion of, you know, disease in this country. And I think we have to come back to some norm with some ability to think critically and get ourselves well informed and not just listen to people who are selling you an agenda, but listen to people who really care about you and want to go on this journey with you to learn more about what is the healthy eating. And I know that Dr. D'Adamo and I specifically agree that some of these simplistic diets that people talk about, and everybody's got a diet book that they're trying to sell you, or everybody's got a probiotic product that they're trying to sell you, or everybody's got an exercise program that they're trying to sell you. So my question is, okay, so we've been selling a lot of books and a lot of concepts. How come the country is not better off than they when we were, you know, before all of this came to pass?
Well, I look at it this way. Food has become a pastime, a hobby, a best friend. And when people are happy or depressed or celebrating or drowning their sorrows, they're not reaching for yogurt and Brussels sprouts. They're reaching for the happy comfort foods. And I'm sure, Dr. D'Adamo, you're seeing that end result as well.
Oh, I sure have. And you know, to expound upon that point, too, I mean, I think why we had as a whole failures, despite just a wealth of different, you know, books and all of which can be helpful, is that there's not going to be one silver bullet. You know, I had an experience where I was asked to write a book, too, and it was very simple advice, you know, to just to eat non-processed foods, to supplement with probiotics, to get sleep, just the sort of basics. But it was not viewed as kind of sexy enough. It was not, and I think that's the problem that we get. And then people will get these books and then they get excited about it for a while and then put it on the shelf. But I think if we just stick to some of the core principles, I mean, you just heard Natasha note, that wasn't one thing. You know, it's diet, it's exercise, it's probiotics, it's sleep, it's managing stress, it's relationships. These are the things, you know, that are really going to together help people. And frankly, I think that helps with compliance too. And it's not just one extreme diet that you have to do it exactly this way or else you fail. I think that's what helps people, you know, feel empowered and feel like they can make the positive changes that are going to lead to just a happier, healthier lives.
Well, I think we have to learn that there are things out there that we have a tendency to gravitate to because we're impatient, and of course we're suffering and we're uncomfortable and we're miserable, and, you know, we are desperate for some kind of a change. But, you know, we have to remember that when something acts really fast and something, you know, hits us very, very strongly, you know, and we have to really realistically take a step back and say, you know, there's no way possible that this has truly fixed the problem because I'm continuing to do all the bad things. You have to realize, you have to call it what it is. It's a Band-Aid fix, and we have to realize it. And I'm sure some people would say, you know what, that's fine. I just want these symptoms to go away. Okay, I understand that. But somewhere along the line, they're not going to work anymore. And you're going to have to find something that gets to the source of the problem. I'm Dr. Jeffrey Burke, and this is The Power of Health on Radio MD. For more information on this segment and all my segments, visit my show page at RadioMD.com. Thanks for listening, and stay well.